are listening to 99.1 WQRT LP Indianapolis, and this is Create Here. Produced by artists and curators from Big Car Collaborative, Create Here is your place to listen to conversations with people making intriguing, innovative, and impactful things happen on the cultural front in Indianapolis, Indiana, and beyond. Find out more and access additional episodes at WQRT.org.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Create Here. We are joined today by Carly Foreman, and she has just opened her exhibit, Full Disclosure, at Tube Factory Art Space. My name is Shate Marsh. I'm Director of Programming and Exhibitions with Big Car. And I'm going to give you a little background information about Full Disclosure. It's mixed media works, find inspiration and collective memory, and how it is intertwined with the natural world. Foreman looks at the relationship between symbolism and ancient sites, churches and secret societies, as well as modern day meme culture in relation to familiar patterns of sacred geometry and environmental symbols. She views this research process and creation of the work as a vehicle for spiritual transformation. That leads me into the first question I'm going to ask today, which might be a little sensitive for you. You have dedicated this exhibit to Christopher Easton, Blot Boy, also known as Blot Boy. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I met Christopher Easton through photographer who goes by Charlie Black, and we became very fast friends. When you're an artist, you find often home in other artists, and it felt like looking in a mirror almost to a certain degree. We were very different, but there were so many similarities in how we viewed the world and our relationship with our friends and our family in the world. We spent a lot of time together, and he was a multidimensional artist. He was an AP art in high school and was planning to go to Heron for fine art. He was a very successful DJ that traveled across the country, and he suddenly passed in 2016, and it was very much like taking one of the leaders. It felt at the time in the arts and music scene in Indianapolis, because this was also an artist who was bridging mediums. Like, he was working with pattern. He was doing a lot of performance-based things as well, and like installation-esque work. So that was really kind of transformative for that time. So losing him was a big... For me, it was like losing my alien, my friend, the one that like saw the alien in me a little bit. So I just took that as like, this was meant to happen. This is how we are to move forward. And the biggest lesson that we can take is just this fearlessness for connecting with people and expressing himself, no matter if it was perfect or not. Like, he would just sketch and make music, hours upon music. And I always have had a hard time sort of loosening that boundary and that wall to just create freely. So he really, in my career, helped with that foundation of that.
And how did you pull him in this memory of him and experience that you've had with him into this show?
One of the biggest messages of Full Disclosure is loosening, or seeing the loosening of the boundaries between what we think, how we feel, how that affects our physical reality. And we're just seeing that a lot across the country and in the world, like politically, socially, what you think and what you do does affect the world, and it affects more people than just you. So a lot of these designs were focused in this micro macro vision of how we're all connected. And that was through sound, through our relationship. Like, he helped me really learn how to communicate that and make the connections across the board, across the mediums, about how to make connection.
And something I haven't seen much, especially around Indianapolis, there's a few different tools you're using and mediums. First of all, let's talk about the acrylic over your pieces. They're very high gloss. They have this substance to them. Just looking at them, you can just feel this texture and the color. You know, of course, it changes the color when you put that on there. What we'll start with the acrylic and then talk about the projection mapping.
Okay. Yeah. Painting has always been the first accessible medium to me as a kid. I've been painting for as long as I can remember, and it's a place of comfort and of home. And during the pandemic, which the show was originally scheduled for November of 2020, so I had some things going, but when it came down to it, I felt like I wanted to paint. I needed to be in my comfort space and in my home and with my people. And a lot of these works I would take around as I go to socialize with people so that I can work on almost embed the relationship that I have with them into the piece. One thing about painting is, for me, I've noticed that it's both a practical thing and I lead with concept, but the practical of covering them in resin is aging and trying to make this work age and last, be around for way past my lifetime. So I wanted to treat each piece and really take detailed care and the presentation and the composition of the work to make sure that it would age well. But the part of the resin is, yes, it makes the color super vibrant, but it allows me to insert something into it, into the medium. So the use of glitter it's this micro macro that you see what you see from the outside, but when you get a closer look, there's always more to find.
And you have, you also have a special connection and relationship to gemstones, minerals, and rocks, which are in several of the works. Do you want to talk a bit about that?
Yeah. I am an intuitive empath. That's how I learned to identify. I am a triple Pisces and my sun, moon, and rising. I have learned over the years with my extreme sensitivity to energy about ways to manipulate that on my own. And it's really fascinating. I'm a huge nerd, and looking at rocks as both chemistry, pieces of our earth, and pieces that vibrate just as we vibrate, just as the trees vibrate. So really it's a tool. It's like, I mean, when you were a kid, why did we all want to pick up rocks? We have rock collections and yeah, they're cool, but I believe we felt something. And I've always felt something, but the more that I started to work with them, even on their own, not in my artwork, really transformed my life. And I went through a period of time of high intensity energy healing and was able to help a lot of people get connected just with that idea of anything, of that from small to large, this little object can make an impact on my life. So I wanted to bring those into the works. I met a guy probably 2017, and he was an energy healer. And this is from what he told me, that he had a calling. Like, he woke up in the middle of the night and looked at a map and had a calling to go to this spot in Canada and went there and found this lady that was selling rocks. And he was like, which intuitively we all kind of get this sense of taps on the shoulder. So I really do believe that that is possible. But he, in the back of this room, she had these rocks that I had just found these. And they are a specific type of mix of amethyst and citrine. And that's the only place in the world that you can find them. And so he bought from her as many as he could. I mean, he is probably the largest collector of these stones that I know of, but he wants to build a museum. The idea of having these stones was building a large public space where you have the power of one stone, you have the power of two stones, they have a relationship with each other. That's why people do grids, because you're amplifying the energy just by how you're placing it and what you're putting together. So I've always been trying to work with this idea of creating public spaces that imagine if you could just walk into a museum and you walk into a grid and you walk out hypothetically feeling better and feeling lighter and more optimistic. Mm-hmm. So I want to take, that's what I've been working on with my crystal sculptures, as a way to actually enhance the vibration of people, of our patrons.
So that, you know, you're talking about place and creating a space and creating a space for healing. And that's something you do and have done with us at Big Car, because, you know, not only are you a multidisciplinary artist, but you're also the director of operations at Big Car and, you know, pretty much have a hand in almost everything we do there. Can you talk about, you know, how it was different creating this show and creating this space versus when you're thinking about space other times, when with your day to day, you know, you have your home life, you have the work you're creating for your show, and then you have what you do with us at Big Car, and balancing and thinking of place pretty much all the time. Can you talk about that balance and how you look at place and space? And I think it's also really interesting that you are taking these works with you to visit your friends and, you know, working on them there and, you know, thinking about how objects can absorb energy.
Yeah. It's space and place has always been an important thing. And to be really honest, it comes from just generationally in my family, feeling like you're not having a space or a place. So my mom has always been really particular about her home because it's the one place that you can control. And I get that 100%. Like, I enjoy all kinds of spaces, but that was the foundation of my learning on creating something that feels comfortable, because we were also hosts. Like, her relationships are incredibly important to us and to our family. So, you do this so that you can welcome other people in and create that energy together. So that traveled to, I was a gymnast, and that was a massive third space in my life. I spent 23 years in that gym, and so was on both sides of participating and creating the environment for other people. And specifically in that, I dealt with people of all abilities. So you may have someone who's in their 60s and they are there, but I'm there to make them feel confident and comfortable and be safe. And I feel like those are the three things that we do in all public spaces. It really just caters to who you're serving. Like, you have to listen first. You got to take in. I've been able to, I feel like, make a lot of spaces and good energy here in Garfield Park because I've been here for so long and have taken a lot of time to absorb and listen before, like, stepping in. And now I do consider this my home, and I'm an active participator here. But my goal is just, it goes back to the day one of, if you never know what somebody's home life is like. And third spaces are a public safe space. So whether it's the museum, it's a park, it's just your sidewalk in front of your house, like, those are all opportunities to make someone feel welcome and acknowledged and celebrated.
Yeah. I mean, people were coming out of the show and they were like, you know, they were very moved by it. They felt really good and positive and optimistic coming out of it, talking about your being in, you're in the neighborhood and a part of it. You're also on the Garfield Park Neighborhood Board, which is a lot of volunteer hours. You're the ear a lot of the community. And did that come into play in the creation of these? Are there specific pieces you want to talk and tell a story about, maybe related to some of these works?
Yeah.
In the show?
Yeah, absolutely. This neighborhood is it's absolutely instrumental in this series, because when there's always been sort of a divide, like, between the people that own property and the people that come and enjoy the amenities of our neighborhood, and our unsheltered neighbors. I really wanted to show connection. So one piece, an example, was two guys. It's a painting, like 4x4. Two guys coming up to each other. One has these colorful expressions of, like, almost an aura around him, and the other one has same color as the background, but it has some texture. It's some stress, like some funky vibes. And part of that is, like, realizing that we're both of those people. Like,
yeah,
everybody, you don't always feel that way, but also realize how that makes other people feel. So I just want us all to feel more human. And I feel like when we all come to the same playing field and the same table together, like, magic happens. I've seen it. We've seen it here in this neighborhood.
Yeah. And it goes to, you know, thinking about place and space and how people interact with you. It goes back to you talking about this micro macro, the works operating on those two levels, because they are accessible to not just people that live in Garfield Park or your friends or your family. They also are accessible to people from other places who don't know you or know this place. Can you talk a bit about maybe how you imagine other people interacting with them that aren't, you know, from here?
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to, I mean, the show, I started working on it in 2019. It's by far the most involved in all the right ways show that I have ever produced. I've told Chate and a couple friends this. It feels like an entire child that I birthed.
Yeah.
And I would love to take it around and show some of those pieces. And this brings it back to some of the technology aspects. This show was a bit site specific. Like, I did this like this for this place, for the people that I believed would come. But all, I mean, obviously for my community, my city of Indy. But I would like to see how this can be site specific somewhere else and give this show specifically a little good run. And yeah. I mean, after this, though, too, I really want to work more in the public art sphere, taking a lot of these things into murals, public engagement, social practice art, sculpture.
Let's do talk about the projection mapping on the pieces, because it really does change how you see the pieces. Of course, it totally changes the works, especially the one that we use for your postcard, which is it Body Filled?
Mm-hmm.
So Body Filled, do you want to describe it for the listeners?
Yeah.
Talk about that piece.
It's as if you took an outline of a human body and they're like, someone's walking up to you, like towards you. And there are these lines, repetition of lines rotating or coming off of the body. So there's layers building and building and building. And as you get towards more layers and you go through some spectrums of color, it fills out more into like a torus symbol, like this vacuum of energy coming through the center, out the other side, this full spiral. So it's the body, but it's the body as we are connected to all the things around us, like when we touch something or, you know, when our feet are grounded. Just that, like, because I feel that way on the daily, like incredibly sensitive to things around me. And that was just what came to me as like the first, I want to like talk about this in different levels of depth. So to make something that immediately you can feel, even if you don't know how to describe it with words, you feel like you understand.
Yeah.
So the projection mapping was a way for me to, I studied sculpture. I want to do environments. I want to make an experience So it was, I've used it on paintings that were new and paintings that are from 2018. There was one painting in there and a sculpture from 2018. So it was a way to also play with renewing those pieces and what was the future of those pieces. Because, you know, we always say work is really never done. So I'll just say a little bit about this projection mapping projector, because I don't want this to seem like it's some fancy, ambiguous thing. I bought this over the pandemic for $1,200, and it came in a box, and you download software, and this projector has a scanner. So it scans the environment. It picks up on 2D and 3D qualities of whatever's in front of it. And then on your computer, you can decide what you want to project on. So for me, it was, I could have done something in the background, on the walls, on the floor, but I wanted to just focus on select pieces to create some almost like windows of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then I do want to give a big shout out to the Bad Boys of AV. I got to be careful on descriptive words, but they're the premium audio and visual tech experts here in Indy. Been doing this for a long time. Jim and Neil gave me a lot of advice and a lot of help on one particular piece. So I turned the video room into an interactive installation. I know when people come to Big Car and come to our campus that they are coming for little experiences. That's one of my favorite things about what we do at Big Car, is like you come into one room and if you want to and you look hard enough, there's probably 10 things to do that are each their own opportunity for a relationship with the neighbor or deeper thought within yourself. So, but the kids want to play and adults mm-hmm. want to play too. And when you go into the gallery, it's great to think conceptually about the work, but also I wanted people to make. So the iPad allows people to, you walk up to this kiosk and you can push and play and twist kind of like a Bop It in mm-hmm. a way where each thing is going to make a different effect on the video that's in the space. So that was connecting for nerds Touch OSC with the iPad to Resolume to do the video effects.
So talk about, you know, talk more about making an exhibit that was designed for and thinking about all different kinds of people, all different kinds of ages. Can you talk a bit about that?
Mm-hmm. I feel fortunate that my like going mission as an artist with vibration and frequency, it can go really descriptive and in depth and thought, or it can be something that is extremely relatable and just makes you feel good. So I wanted to give everybody the opportunity to see both. Like kids could see something that was like, wow, that's really crazy. How did you do that? Or I know that she just painted that painting but look at it. Like, I don't know, like bridging that gap between fine art and participatory art is really important to me, because fine art is amazing. Museums are amazing. But there has to be a balance of both, so that it's not a wall between consumer, patron, and art institution and artist. Mm-hmm.
What about you? You brought up the tourist symbol. What other symbols were you pulling from, and why for this exhibit?
I grew up Catholic, and I was really enamored with the repetition, the level of detail, physical qualities, like with sculptures in the space, iconography, like what do we look to for guidance and what do we value? So I took it back to like, I wanted to go as basic as possible because, right, I'm a nerd. So it's the science of what makes us. I used the flower of life, the seed of life. I've got I've got a little excerpt if I can read.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So one book that really changed my life is The Ancient Secret of the Flower of Life by Drunvalo Melchizedek. And I'll just read this little excerpt at the very top of the back of the book. Once all life in the universe knew the flower of life as the creation pattern, the geometrical design leading us into and out of physical existence. Then, from a very high state of consciousness, we fell into darkness and forgot who we were. For thousands of years, the secret was held in ancient artifacts and carvings around the world and echoes in the cell of all life. Now we're rising up from that sleep, shaking old, stale beliefs from our minds and glimpsing into the golden light of this new dawn streaming through the windows of perception. This book is one of those windows. But it's just talking about how it goes down to, like, I'm interested in what, we don't know everything about our history. We only know what the winners wrote. And looking back, I want to understand where we come from. Mm-hmm. This is our home, not just any but this planet. And these are our people. I want to understand. And especially these many ancient civilizations and their connection to the earth and to the stars. There's so much to be learned there. So I try to go back to those symbols. What we find in ancient sites in Egypt, in Ireland, in Scotland, and use that almost to call to like our what we might not know, but it's in our decoding of our DNA to know what these things are. Mm-hmm. So whether you know what it is or not, it almost might, I hope, turn that on a little.
Yeah. How did you get introduced to this book, and when did it become so like an important resource to your work?
Yeah, I got connected. I've always kind of had these conversations of what is our grander connection in history here, because we're incredibly intelligent and soul intelligent beings to just be here right now and have found this level of success or failure here. So there has to be a bigger story. I was just talking with friends at a time when YouTube was starting to make videos about spirituality and new age topics. So I got onto this book, and it really just goes as far as to show you, like, some examples on the inside are of ancient temples and the sacred geometry within those temples, like in India, that are really descriptive. And like this is so corny, but the pyramids, we look at them and we're like, yeah, there's no way that they made that. Well, they made that, but they're also absolutely perfect. Like, not quite ancient aliens, but how did that happen? Mm-hmm. So it was a group conversation probably in my very early teens, mm-hmm. that developed this entire being of me, basically.
That's so cool. So another thinking about also making this work accessible, you also created a gift shop with different, you know, there's different price levels. So there's, you know, the works are for sale, but then there's also smaller works that range in price. Can you talk a bit about that?
Absolutely. My favorite thing about going anywhere is having a souvenir, having an object that has that energy, that carries the energy of that space, that time, that memory. And while I do consider and strive to create fine art, which is not always the most accessible kind of art because of the amount of time and resources that go into making it, I always want to offer pieces of my same energy that are completely accessible. So I think the cheapest thing in the shop is maybe like $10, and it's a book, or I have a couple crystals. Like I have oil rollers, mm-hmm. all kinds of experiential things, you know, the smell, touch, view from all price points. Yeah. To make sure that anybody could come in and take something home with them.
And did you make the oils and the oil rollers?
I did. Yeah. I made everything aside from the crystals and the books.
So the scent, tell me about the, you know, selecting the scent, because scent is very, very, it really affects people. And how did you choose those and why?
I see scent. So this is like a good, great question to ask because it's the foundation of why I choose certain colors, and it's that vibration. So waves of light have a certain frequency. Things that are alive have a certain electromagnetic frequency. Smelling something or like wearing all red. Red is a color, so that creates a frequency when you're wearing all of this red, and when you look at it, you're taking in that vibration. So it's kind of like giving you a choice in what you want to add to your vibration. So there's all kinds of scents, but you could pick like peppermint, which is good for the throat chakra. So it releases, allows you, and even good for the head. Cinnamon, when we think of cinnamon, we think of home and of grounding. And that is exactly what cinnamon does. It grounds you. That's why when mom's making that pie, it just grounds us, makes us feel like home. So trying to use every avenue I can as an option for anyone to say, I want a little more, I need this, or I need this. And even if you don't know, you'll feel it.
Mm-hmm. And you have paints for sale.
Yeah, that was a really fun. I really wanted to do this for a long time. I really enjoy packaging, merchandising, making things accessible. So I took paint that I've used. I made big batches of paint that I used in the show and put them into little paint sets. So there's 5 limited edition full disclosure paint sets down in the gallery. And that's something that I'll definitely do more in the future. But this is the first run. So if you want them, come get them. They're pretty cool. And I look forward to how I can play with that more in the future.
Yeah. Were there any pieces that you struggled with? And can you tell us a bit, if you did, more about that?
Well, there's one particular piece that's a billboard. And I started that piece. It wasn't that I don't know that I necessarily struggled, but it was one that you kind of sit on for a while and you just let it marinate. And it was just kind of, starting to look a little sad. Like I just left it there for too long. And it just like came to me in that same moment of like, oh my God, I know exactly what I need to do with it. And that kind of sealed the deal for the show too. And it's the first piece that you see when you walk into the gallery. So, well, it's hard to decide what you're going to put on a painting that has a billboard on it. I really knew exactly what I wanted to say. And it was, you got here just in time.
Yeah.
So it was just a matter of being patient with myself and allowing it to marinate until mm-hmm. that moment came.
Yeah, and it's the only piece in there with words on it too, right?
Yes, this is true.
Yeah, this is true. So it's a pretty powerful position and phrase to enter the exhibit with.
Yeah, and from that, can I read something from my statement?
Yeah.
I feel hope that we can have conversations about how our world is connected, that we can feel empathy and responsibility for collective growth. Each of us is a pillar in the bridge that takes us from our past to our future. Like, we are a bridge to a different world. So we got here just in time.
You know, that makes me, it's I think it's a hard time for people right now. I mean, I'm sure humanity's always been like, oh my gosh, there's always been upheaval. But it has felt, with the pandemic, with the environmental concerns, with political upheaval and, loss of rights. I love that you have put together an exhibit that gives people hope and faith in humanity. And, so I see that show as, and did you intend it that way for it to be like a tool for bringing people together and healing?
Yeah, to see the bright side, have some fun too. Yeah. Like we're coming. Yes. Oh, I, as much as I want to talk about how I feel right now about the world, what I need personally and what I feel like other people could maybe benefit from is let's keep that up, because there's a lot of beauty around here. There's a lot of things for us to be so incredibly proud and grateful of. And we cannot get, the point of that quote too was like, you can't get from level one to level three without going through level two. Like, mm-hmm. you have to take that step to get to the right place. And I do have faith that this is a learning lesson for us as a society and as a world. Like, we have no choice. We're going to have to figure it out. So it's just a matter of time.
Yeah, and keeping faith.
Yeah, and keeping the faith, keeping the faith, keeping our energy up and our empathy and our just love for each other. That's so important.
Yeah.
I do want to do a little plug. I did 4 years of Good Vibrations on Air, and that is a beautiful project that may very well resurface in other forms or back on the radio, but I wanted to let this all digest. And so there are past episodes of Good Vibrations available on WQRT.org. You can find our archives. They're on our Mixcloud, and there are some really good mixes. So if you tune in, let me know what you think, because what's been so weird about being in this booth doing this is I'm by myself. So an hour twice a month in this room that's not too small, but I'm just here by myself. So it's very strange broadcasting out to your city and not having that line of feedback. So if I, anything, plug, listen to Good Vibrations and let me know what you think.
Well, we hope that you'll come to Tube Factory Art Space, 1125 Cruft Street, 46203 zip code, and see Carly Foreman. Full disclosure, you can find more information on www.bigcar.org or check www.tubefactory.org. And Carly, you also have an Instagram account where people can follow your work and processes. Do you want to give that out as well?
Absolutely, yeah. My Instagram is Carly_Foreman. It's Carlie. You should be able to find me. And I do love documenting process videos. So thank you, Chate.
Thank you, Carly.